Let me share with you a few verses of Scripture this morning found in the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. I shall begin a reading with the 18th verse. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. I want to tell you a truth this morning. The Christian faith has always been a singing faith. All the way from the dawn of creation, when the morning stars sang together, until this present day, when the hymns and the psalms and the spiritual songs have become the vehicle of faith and hope and inspiration and the joy of God's people. You know, hymns of praise have always followed the great blessings and events of God in the lives of His people. Think for a moment. There was Moses and the children of Israel. God had delivered them from Egypt by a demonstration of miraculous power. He had parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel had crossed on dry land. When the army of Egypt sought to follow them, the seas closed in, and they were all drowned. And there are the children of Israel standing on the far shores of the banks of the Red Sea. And Moses gathers the congregation for a service of worship. Listen to them as they sing. "I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him." Well, there was Hannah. Hannah came before the Lord in the bitterness of her soul, and she wept before Him. You see, God had closed her womb, and she was barren. One day, Hannah made a covenant with God. If He would open her womb and give her a son, she would give the son back to the Lord. God granted her request, and Samuel was born. We can see Hannah as she cradles that little son in her arms, and she sings her hymn of praise to God. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Well, there was David. He'd become the king of Israel. God had subdued all of his enemies. The kingdom was at peace and secure. And we find David sitting upon the throne, singing a great hymn of praise. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord is my strength, and in Him will I trust. I will call upon Him because He is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies." And now we come to the celebration of Christmas, and it's no different. The hopes and fears of all of the years have been met in Him. And as we go through the Christmas singing, the sounds of Christmas fall singing on our ears. "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Go and tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born." No doubt God believed that singing was an appropriate celebration for Christmas. For in the Gospel of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, God inspired three people to sing a Christmas hymn. A mother, a preacher, and an old man. Each of these hymns has one thing in common, and each of them reveals an important aspect of our salvation. Would you look for a moment with me? The first hymn of Christmas is the hymn of a mother. Her name is Mary. This is the way it happened. An angel appeared to Mary one night. Mary didn't recognize who he was, but the angel spoke, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High God." As the angel spoke, Mary's mind was a place of wild thoughts and unmentioned imaginations. And yet she must listen to all that he continued to say. "The Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then came her need for reality. Who this angel was, Mary didn't know, but she felt bound to question. "How can this be?" she asked in a whisper, "seeing that I do not know a man." And the angel stepped forward, and Mary recognized who he was, and he continued to speak. "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And the one born shall be called the Son of God." And the angel vanished. Mary sank to her knees and wept and prayed. It was too much to understand. She wanted to scream for her mother and cry to her what had happened. But who would believe it? And then Mary made her way across country to the home of her cousin Elizabeth. And at first greeting, Elizabeth understood. And with a sob of relief, Mary flung herself into Elizabeth's arms, and she sang that wonderful hymn of Christmas. Listen to it.
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
The keynote of Mary's hymn is verse 47, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior." And with these words, Mary is exalting God as the author of our salvation. Indeed, Mary recognized what God had been saying to his people right along. You remember? We've said it before, but listen again. In the beginning, man disobeyed God and sin came into the world. And as a result of sin, man was completely cut off from God and was plunged into total darkness. No matter how hard man tried to relieve his situation, he could do nothing about it. But what man could not do for himself, God did. He decreed that he would handle sin when it came. That he would come into time and to space. That he would bear the punishment and the penalty for sin. And that he would restore a man into a right relationship with the Father. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. He is our salvation. Through him, our sins are forgiven. We are being redeemed and transformed. And we are conformed into the image of his Son. Years later, as Paul was writing, he stated it in this fashion: "He has chosen us in Christ before the foundations of the world." And with that tremendous truth, Paul reminds us that salvation is always the sovereign act of a living God. You see, salvation doesn't come by chance or accident. It is not my choice that lands me in the kingdom of God. There is nothing about me that justifies my being his disciple. I cannot work for it. I cannot earn it. I cannot purchase it. It is the sovereign act of a living God. "You've not chosen me," God said. "I've chosen you." when I am discouraged and ashamed and ready to drop out of the fight. What a relief to be set free by the healing word of God. I've chosen you. I've made an everlasting covenant with you, and I will stand by it forever. Paul said it in another time, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But there is a second Christmas hymn. It's a hymn of a preacher. His name is Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. His wife's name was Elizabeth. She was the cousin of Mary, who was to be the mother of Jesus. Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth and Zechariah had prayed for years that God would give them a son. And now in their old age, they had given up hope. Well, one day, Zechariah was fulfilling his functions as a priest in the temple. And it fell his lot to enter the Holy of Holies and stand before the presence of God on behalf of the people. And as he entered the Holy of Holies, there standing before him was the angel Gabriel. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah," he said. "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call his name John." Because Zechariah doubted the truth of what the angel said, he was struck dumb. And he was not permitted to speak until that child was born. In due time, Elizabeth did give birth to a son. The friends and relatives asked Zechariah what he would name the boy, and he wrote, "His name is John." When he wrote those words, his tongue was loosed, and he sang his Christmas song. Listen to it.
His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our holy father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in the holiness and the righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those who have in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the path of peace."
The keynote of Zechariah's hymn is verse 77, to give salvation to his people by the remission of sins. And with that word, Zechariah reminds us that our salvation is not a political salvation. It's not a social salvation. It's not an economic salvation. It's not a military salvation. Our salvation is a spiritual experience that comes through the forgiveness of our sins and our being restored into a right relationship with God. Indeed, that was the prophecy of Isaiah years before he came. "Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her iniquity is pardoned." That was the announcement of the angels to the shepherds as they kept watch over their flock. "There is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That was the announcement of John the Baptist years later when Jesus came to be baptized. He pointed him out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And that was the announcement of Jesus himself when he died on the cross and he cried, "It is finished." You see, the Greek word "it is finished" literally means paid in full. And from the cross of Calvary, Jesus announced that our salvation is satisfied, that his shed blood paid in full the debt for our sins. We are forgiven and we are restored. Isn't that what makes Christmas such a joyous celebration? As we go through this season of the year, the peace of God floods our souls, because we recognize that we no longer have to carry the weight of guilt and of shame. But through him, we are set free and we are whole. there's a third hymn of Christmas. It's a hymn of an old man. His name is Simeon. We don't know much about that old man, but we do know that God made a promise to him that he would not see death until he had seen the coming of God's salvation. And one day Joseph and Mary brought the little Jesus, 8 days old, into the temple to be circumcised. And we find Simeon taking that child in his arms and singing his great hymn. Listen to it.
Now, Lord, you have kept your promise and may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people, Israel.
The keynote of Simeon's hymn is verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. And with these words, he reminds us that the salvation of God is for you and for me personally. Oh, it is true that Jesus came to bring salvation to the whole world. It is equally true and far more meaningful to know that he came to bring salvation for me and for you individually. Someone has said that the love of God is so deep and so personal and so particular that had you been the only person on earth, God would have sent his son Jesus just for you. See, Jesus has come. He is our salvation. And when he is present, there is no wound that cannot be healed. There is no tangle that cannot be straightened out. There is no doubt that cannot be turned to certainty. There is no fear that cannot be filled with peace. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. He is our salvation. He has come for you and me. That's the real meaning of Christmas. God has intervened in the affairs of his people. He provides for us forgiveness of sin. And he restores us into a right relationship with him. God grant during this Christmas season that you will experience the fullness of his provision in your life.